So I guess I'll just kick this off. I'm really, really inspired and intrigued by some of the things that you talk about in your website.
Okay.
I think a lot of people assume that as they get older, that they're going to have problems with vision, problems with their eyesight, and they assume that that's just a natural way that it's just a natural thing that happens as you get older.
Yeah,
And a lot
they
of
assume it's inevitable.
yeah, exactly. It's just this inevitable thing. Even if you had perfect 20/20 vision, as soon as your 40s and your mid-40s, or even as early as your early 30s, people begin start having impaired vision. They start getting headaches. What do you think is the number one cause for people who have problems with their eyesight?
I think it's a stress, a strain on the visual system. They're trying too hard to see to some extent. And by trying too hard, they're pulling muscles that they shouldn't be pulling. So the picture gets blurry, and they don't know how to undo that strain.
So, obviously, it's not something as simple as poor lighting in their house. People generally just have a stressful disposition before their eyes even open in the morning when they wake up, and their eyes are strained immediately as soon as they begin looking at things.
Well, usually for people who have the stressful habit, they find that in the morning when they wake up, and this doesn't go for everybody, but for a majority of people, those when they wake up, they find they have reasonably clear vision for a little while, and then pretty quickly it deteriorates as they go into their habit of stressful seeing.
So where does this stress originate? Where for most people, is it just this overriding impending gloom that we've been trapped into as we go and get jobs and run businesses and live the typical American lifestyle? Or is this more of a physiological response to maybe something that's going on in our face or the way that we're contorting our eyes?
All those things are part of it. It's different reasons for everybody. Some people start having vision problems because they just don't work in an office with enough natural light coming in. It's like, the office without windows.
Yes.
That's horrible for the eyes.
What's your opinion about fluorescent lighting?
I don't like it very much. A lot of it is not very good for our eyes. But they have improved over the years. They're not as bad as they used to be, but they're still, most of them are still, a lot of places still have alt lights that need to be replaced. But there's a full spectrum fluorescent light available these days that would take away a lot of the problems.
So what happens, like, when we have lighting that's insufficient? Do our pupils try to compensate for that lack of light by straining too hard to try to either create a clearer picture, or what is the actual, like, thing that goes on in there?
I think the eyes get tired from the artificial light, and then once the eyes get tired and the vision starts getting a little blurry just from the tiredness, then we add on top of that the strain of trying to see, which only makes things worse.
A lot of ophthalmologists recommend having really good lighting when you're reading and when you're doing other things that require a lot of concentration. But we're so used to now being in front of computer screens and television screens so many hours in the day. At least a lot of people are, especially as Americans. Do you notice a difference, like perhaps using a flat screen monitor compared to one of the larger screens? Or is there anything that can be done to minimize some of the stress that comes through those kinds of devices?
Yeah, there are different screens, some with less radiation. And you can get those screens that you can put over your computer screen to reduce the glare somewhat. That's helpful. But using better vision habits while at the computer is going to make a huge difference.
And what would
Because a
that
lot of
be?
people would end up staring at their computer and they don't even realize that they're totally in tunnel vision, oblivious to the world around them, not blinking anymore, shallow breathing. And that's a typical picture of somebody at a computer for any length of time.
So there's no intention, there's no mindfulness behind their gaze. So their eyes actually become dulled in a way.
Yeah, they become strained because they're asked to stay at one focal distance for a long period, which is a strain for them. They like a lot of variety. They like to look in the distance and back. And when you're at the computer for a long time, then they don't get that movement.
Huh. So perhaps having a computer screen next to a window where you could periodically look outside would help minimize some of that strain.
Yes, that's what I do.
I actually have the same thing, and I actually love it because I'm forced to look out the window every few minutes and see what's going on, see any birds in my windowsill, and
exactly.
I actually find it quite relaxing.
Yeah, any animals walking by. Yeah.
Well, one thing that I'm really fascinated about your observations were that a lot of eye specialists give these crazy exercises, and you have to look up and down and do all these crazy things to move the eyeball all around. But you say to do the exact opposite, that actually we need to relax the eye, that we have most of the time we spend stressing and straining with our vision, that we actually need to relax our eyesight, and that will actually create better vision.
Yeah, absolutely. The problem with the eye exercises is that people who have blurry vision have muscles around the eyes that are already tense and tight. So if you put eye exercises on top of tense muscles, you're creating more of a problem. You need to learn to relax those muscles first, and then you can do your eye push-ups if you really want, but
sure.
By then you don't really have to anymore because then your vision is clear.
How did you come up with this insight? Because it's the absolute opposite of what a lot of other experts are teaching, but I know from personal experience that this is a much easier, much more natural, much more relaxed way to improve one's vision. How did
Yes.
you come up with it?
I was lucky to find a good teacher. At first, I came across a book that only taught the eye exercises, and I tried that because I was nearsighted, and that didn't help me at all. I don't have the discipline to stick with exercises on a regular basis, and I didn't see any improvement very soon either, so I just let that go. And it was 16 years later when I came across a different book, also about the Bates method. The funny thing is they both claim to be about the Bates method, and one of them is all about exercises, and the other one is about the true Bates method of relaxing the eyes. So the second book helped me get back to 20/20 vision in just 2 weeks.
Wow.
That was impressive for me.
I think that would be impressive for almost anybody. You were wearing glasses prior to that.
No, I wore glasses for a short time, but I could not get used to them. And I found it easier to make do with blurry vision than to make do with glasses.
Is it true that the longer you go having blurry vision, though, it just gets worse because the eyes get weaker and weaker because they're actually straining more and more to try to see?
I found that not to be true because I did not wear the glasses. I made do with the blurry vision, and I just got used to that. And because I didn't wear the glasses, my eyes did not get worse. So I stayed at a slightly blurry level for 16 years.
Wow. That's a long time to have poor vision and then all of a sudden have it within 2 weeks completely transform.
It was nice. It was a very happy surprise. And at that time I was living with a guy who was much more nearsighted than I was. And I decided to give him the challenge of going without his glasses for 1 week. And he was very hesitant, but he agreed. And I put him in front of an eye chart to check what his vision was like. And I measured out 20 feet, and I said, have a look at the eye chart. How much can you see? And he went, did you put something on the wall? So I was amazed that eyes could get that bad. I had no clue. This was my first experiment as an eyesight teacher before I was even an official teacher.
Sure.
And we decided to just ignore how bad his vision was and continue reading from the book and doing what it said. And a month later, he was able to read 4 lines down on the eye chart, and he was just about ready to pass the driver's test.
Wow. And when you say some of the different techniques that you use, is it like a 15-minute per day relaxation exercise? Is it meditation? Is it just deep breathing or a combination
no.
of everything?
It's partly a combination of what you just said, but it's mostly using better vision habits all day long. For example, blinking. It's not something you do 10 minutes a day and then forget about.
Sure.
You relearn to blink in an effortless, regular way all day long and become aware of staying away from the staring habit.
So by itself, becoming more conscious as a human and actually using and seeing things, like I know for a fact, like, and I've I know a lot of guys probably make this mistake too, that if your girlfriend or your spouse comes home with a beautiful haircut and you look at her but you don't see her, what kind of trouble we can get into, because we get into this myopic, blinded, ignorant, just walking through our day. We don't see anything. Mm-hmm. We just assume everything is the way it always has been, so we kind of think that everything's exactly the same, but we're just not observant. And you're suggesting that just to have a different approach to eyesight, to actually use the eyes and use them in a way that's not straining, but just that's actually more engaging, that we're engaging the world more. Is that what you, would you say that? Would be
yes,
true?
Exactly. Absolutely. Yeah. It's much more relaxing to use the eyes that way. And when we're more relaxed, we become more observant. It becomes an effortless thing.
Well, they say a lot of great martial artists that the less they try, the more effective they will be and the stronger that they can be in the face of opponents when they use their opponent's force against them rather than using their own force trying to, you know, it's like trying to hit a brick wall.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, in a way, it's the same thing. Yeah.
So if somebody, for instance, is going to come to see you and say, hey, my vision's getting worse now. It's been a couple of years, and these glasses are driving me crazy. They keep falling off my nose. What would you suggest that they do in order to become more conscious of their environment and of the things around them?
Find a teacher. You can check my website. I have a huge list of teachers all over the place. And then go take some classes with a teacher like that and learn about natural vision improvement. And become more aware of the good vision habits and unlearn the bad vision habits. Clearing up your vision.
What would you say is your success rate as far as people who come to see you? If everybody incorporates this, does everybody have their vision improved at least a little bit or a lot?
I think that probably a good 9 out of 10 students have some sort of improvement in the first half hour with me.
After a half hour?
Yes.
Unbelievable.
It's very easy. It's very easy to learn to relax. It's not a hard thing to do. It just takes a few minor things of changing, and just about everybody sees improvement in the first half hour.
How about meditation classes? Learning breathing exercises and being able to focus on virtuous things. Do you think that could have an effect also on the eyes?
Oh, yeah. Breathing is very important because the eyes need so much oxygen. If you compare it by weight, the retina needs more oxygen than any other part of the body.
Really?
Yes. So
I had no idea.
Eyes, no, not many people know this. But the eyes do need a lot of oxygen. And so proper relaxed abdominal breathing is going to be a huge help to better vision.
One interesting thing that you also wrote on your website, joyvision.org or .com?
Visionsofjoy.org.
I'm sorry, visionsofjoy.org.
No.
That a deep breath isn't trying to suck in as much oxygen as you can into your lungs, but it's actually breathing from the lower portion of your torso, from your abdomen, rather than shallowly. Because you can take a deep breath from your lungs and still have it to be, and it can still be a shallow breath, correct?
Well, you can take a deep breath, but taking the deep breath means you're making an effort in breathing. And same as with vision, the better you relax during the breathing, the easier it's going to get. So my focus is on the exhale. By slowing down and lengthening the exhale, the inhale will automatically become deeper and easier.
Interesting. And, of course, our tendency would be the exact opposite, to try to suck in as much as we can
and absolutely. Not
breathe any out and try to suck in more right afterwards.
Yeah, that's not good. That's really not beneficial.
Are there any like physical exercise, like just walking outdoors in a natural setting? Does that help also with our vision? And also, what's your view of sunlight?
Good combination. Yes, being outdoors is absolutely great. It's much better for the eyes. It's also better for our lungs, fresh air.
Mm-hmm.
And sunlight, I have just been reading the books by John Ott, and he was a time-lapse photographer whose hobby brought him into the effects of natural light on the growth of plants and then on the behavior of animals.
Mm-hmm.
And as it went on, he realized that this had a much more far-reaching effect, and he began to study the effects of sunlight on people and realized that without the full spectrum of sunlight, all sorts of health problems can occur. And with the full spectrum of sunlight, i.e. going outdoors more often, and when we are outdoors, to not wear sunglasses or glasses so that the actual sunlight can come into our eyes. But that makes a huge difference in our health and well-being.
Would you ever recommend sunglasses? Like, what if somebody's like in a really bright environment, like at the beach or maybe skiing in the mountains?
Yeah, in some cases, I can understand that people want to wear the glasses.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to go snowblind, for example.
Sure.
So those extreme occasions, right? Go ahead, protect your eyes. But most of the time, we are not in such extreme situations, and it's much more beneficial to learn to take in the sunlight and allow our eyes to adapt. So
have
I
you...
teach people to become comfortable in bright light again.
Huh. So a person who habitually wears sunglasses is going to actually, I guess it's like sitting in a closet for 3 days with no light at all.
Yes,
and then coming
very
out.
Sensitive.
So our eyes, as they become more sensitive, are they actually becoming weaker?
I wouldn't say weaker. They're becoming more stressed. I would say that with the sun, if you allow yourself to relax in the sunlight and learn to receive that light without straining against it, and I do that with closed eyelids.
Sure.
Then as you progress, you'll find it easier and easier to be in bright light without straining against it. And then, you know, it's just so much better for the eyes.
This is, I find this really fascinating, how by engaging the world, we actually, engaging it in a way where our awareness is increased and we're actually more interested in things around us. Because I think that's what it really comes down to, that the more interested we are and the more interest that we have around us, the more reasons we're going to have to keep our vision sharp and clear, as just because it's more fun than it is otherwise.
Yeah, it's nice to keep our eyesight good.
Absolutely. You know, they even say, too, like, people enjoy going to movies more than they do watching it on a screen, because when you, like, on a TV screen, because in a TV screen, your eye is focused on, it's just literally on a, almost in a hypnotic trance where it just does not move. And that's the definition of a hypnotic trance. Like, if you take your thumb and put it in front of your face and stare at your thumb, all your peripheral vision dies away, and all you do is become, and all you become aware of is that thumb. That's basically is a hypnotic trance when your eyeball doesn't move. So when you go to a movie and you're looking at a bigger screen, your eye naturally moves around a lot more. And that's another reason why we can remember movies we see in the theater better than we can remember movies we see on a screen, because we're more engaged with the movie and we have our awareness is much working at a much higher level.
Mm-hmm.
So our brain's working more, our eyes are working more, and we're actually kind of interacting with the movie, whereas if it's just a screen, it's not that way at all.
Yeah, I totally agree. The staring habit is really disastrous for our eyes. And because seeing is very much a mental process, then if it's bad for the eyes, it's bad for the brain. We need the brain to be engaged in order to really see clearly. And
the eyes are the closest organ we have to our brain.
Yeah, they actually grew out of brain tissue.
Really?
Yes, same material.
What's your opinion on using the imagination with the eyes shut to also stimulate brain and eye activity?
That's really useful. If you look at a chart, an eye chart, and you cannot see a letter, but you know what the letter is, then one way of helping yourself to see that letter better is to close your eyes and imagine seeing it better. Imagine seeing the letter being really, really black. Imagine the background of the chart being really, really white. Imagine seeing it very clearly and effortlessly so. But you're not trying to make it clear. It just comes to you clearly. And then when you open your eyes, you'll find it's probably clearer. So imagination is really useful in seeing better. It's a good way to help your eyes relax by using your mind to say that you can see clearly.
Do you actually use that as an exercise with different students that come to see you?
Yes, I do. I use it regularly.
It would seem to me that that a practice of regular meditation, regular exercise, decent eating, do you have any specific foods that you also suggest that your students eat when they come to you?
I'm not a doctor, so I'm not allowed to prescribe anything, but I do mention that the best foods for the eyes are the kales and the dark green leafy vegetables, spinach, Of course, carrots. Everybody knows about carrots.
Sure.
And then, of course, the best thing is to leave out all the things that hurt your eyes. All the
processed
foods.
The obvious things: smoking, sugar, white flour.
Yes, alcohol, white flour, white refined sugars, all the artificial colorings and flavorings. You know, just eat a more natural diet, closer to nature. It'll do your eyes so much good.
How about pollution? Do you notice that the pollution has increased in cities, and people in cities have worse eyesight than people who live in a more natural setting?
I don't know if that's a correlation. It could be. I really don't know. I think the people living in a natural setting have less problems because they're more outdoors also. They're not, you know, living the city life of being indoors. They're more out in open nature. They have a horizon that's still miles away rather than in the opposite side of the street.
Let me ask you if you notice this, because I know in nature, colors are a lot more subdued a lot of times, and it takes patience and awareness to see the differences and the distinctions in nature. If you see trees and bark and leaves and flowers, whereas if you're in a bigger city where the lights are so strong and the colors are so billboards and the, you know, just the way things are, they're really designed to jump out at you, whereas in nature a lot of times things are made or designed for you to jump out to see them. So do you think that if somebody is living in the city, that perhaps once a week or a couple times a month that they can get out into the more natural settings to really recharge their eyes and their brain would be a good idea?
It would be a good idea for them to relax, yes. I think the city is too enervating, too charging, whereas coming out in nature will help you relax. And, of course, the fresh air and the natural light is going to help that doing that. And just seeing the beauty of nature, you know, it's so beneficial. Not many people take the time for that anymore. But it'll do our soul a huge amount of good. And then when you're looking around, it's good to notice that it's not possible to see, for example, a whole tree clearly all at once, because it's too big to fit into the central part of the retina that sees clearly.
Huh.
So becoming aware that really there's only small details that you can see clearly one at a time, and allowing your eyes to move and happily moving along freely as much as they want will be a huge benefit for vision.
That's so interesting, and I find that it's the same with people, that we really, when we say, oh, I'm seeing Mary or I'm seeing John, usually we're just seeing a part of them, and we impute, we imply, we assume, we project all the rest of them without really even looking at what they're up to or how they look today.
Exactly. I do in my classes something called face sketching, where I get the students to face each other and look at each other, and then they close their eyes and they try and paint that picture of the face in their mind's eye. And they find that there's a lot of gaps. And they have to open their eyes and fill in the gaps and look for the details. And
how about something as obvious as wearing a big red tie or something, and have a person close your eyes in front of you and they don't even notice, you know?
Yes.
They don't even remember what you're wearing.
They couldn't describe it, yes, because they didn't really look in detail.
I think that's one of the reasons why a lot of people have such a fascination with the Sherlock Holmes character, because he walks into a room and sees everything that everybody else misses. And even the most minute things that we just overlook all the time, he notices you know, the importance of noticing them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's something intrinsically fascinating in somebody who does notice a lot. And to use more of our brain, our body, I think it just pays to become more observant. And I think it's a good analogy for a lot of things. We'll see more opportunities in our life. We'll see more ways to benefit other people. If we're aware of where people are really suffering and hurt, we'll see more opportunities and how to help the world, you know? Like this, I think this is a great exercise just in being a better human, not just improving your eyesight. And I think it really reflects a lot in the way that you're writing on your website and your books, and I think that's why I'm so drawn to your work, and I think it's something that a lot of people really, really need to know about. Because, I mean, anybody can go to an eye doctor and be the same knucklehead they were walking in as they are walking out. Whereas when people come to you with the work that you do, they have to really take a look at their lives and how they, and their relationships to things, to people, to their environment. And I think that's so important, because we just don't take the time to really acknowledge how important that is and how we are relating, not so much how things are relating to us, but how we're relating to them.
Yeah. People don't realize that they come for eyesight improvement, but really, if they're very much wanting to change their eyes, it often involves a change of lifestyle, a change of awareness.
No, that's amazing. And it's the same with raw and living foods. I mean, people think that they just have to switch the foods, but
that's not a lifestyle too.
Yeah, exactly. You know, we have a certain emotional attachments to things and feeling good in a different way that, and I mean, we feel so much better when you start eating these foods, and I believe when we start improving our eyesight, but it's just a different way of feeling. It's subtler, I believe, rather than much, you know, like eating a pizza is a very coarse experience. Sometimes eating a wonderful salad is a lot more subtle, you know, and it takes some waking up our taste buds, just like, you know, you suggest waking up our eye buds, I guess.
The cones and the rods in the retina.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So what if somebody's like if somebody's in their 50s and they had poor eyesight for like 50 years or 40 years or whatever?
Yeah.
What would you suggest?
Same as I suggest for everybody else. It might take them a little longer, but not necessarily. It's just a relaxation of their vision habits. And once they grasp that and understand it and apply it, their vision will improve too.
So would you say that this is more psychological than physiological?
Yeah, it goes hand in hand. You can't change the physical without changing the mental and vice versa. They both get addressed.
It's funny though how conventional medicine, though, primarily relies on the physical, and the mental and the spiritual is really largely overlooked.
Oh, yes, absolutely. It's all connected, and within vision improvement, that's very, very obvious.
What about those little glasses with the holes, little
the pinhole glasses?
Yeah, little pinhole glasses. You put them on like 15 minutes a day, and it's supposed to help your eyesight.
It helps you see better, at least for some people, not everybody. But some people find that they see better through those glasses, and that helps them to relax. But they're not consciously learning the better vision habits. So it's a nice tool to help you go from normal glasses to living without glasses and seeing clearly again. It's a nice in-between transition thing. But on their own, they're not going to do much. You really need to learn how to use your eyes better all day long without those.
What's your opinion of people being able to look in your eye and pick out diseases and sicknesses, iridology?
Oh, yeah, I have some experience with that. I took a basics iridology class once, and I think there's something to it. I'm not an expert in it by any means, but
sure.
Yeah, there's definitely some validity there. And you know, people who have spots and funny things within their iris would do well to go check that out with an iridologist and see what it's related to.
Well, this has been an absolutely fascinating half hour. Is there anything else you would like to leave our listeners with before we end this call?
Go check out my website.
Absolutely. Do you want to just repeat it again?
Visions of Joy. Yes. Visionsofjoy.org. And org, of course, stands for organic in this case.
I highly recommend it. I spent a long time this past weekend looking through it, and it's got a lot of really good resources. And again, like everything else, it's what you're not aware of. It's going to really direct and control your life. So it's really so important to become educated in everything, you know, that we include on this site, because it can change your life.
Yes, it can. Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Thank you,
Lynn. Been great.
I appreciate your calling.